This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 7th, 2023, the fifth Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Be you as living stones built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Last week we talked about the Good Shepherd, but emphasized the sheep. Today, our Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. I want to talk about the living stones that make up this castle in which our Lord dwells. Castle is the motif, the picture you want to get in your mind, not what we are used to thinking about as our houses. A castle is different. A castle is a place where the king lives. It is fortified for defense. It is also fortified for offense, if necessary. It is military. This is what our Lord is talking about when he's talking about being the chief cornerstone and also the living stones that make up its walls. We are those living stones. Sounds very noble, and it is. I cannot emphasize enough how noble it is. You hear things like, we are a chosen generation, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation. Those things sound, again, very, very noble. It's a good thing. We should appreciate that. But he doesn't stop there. He says you're a chosen generation, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. We have been bought to function for our Lord. We have been bought to be living stones. And it cost him everything. We hear the word redemption so often in church, churchy connotation, redemption, okay? Redemption. Oh, Jesus saves us. Redemption doesn't have anything to do with saving. Redemption has to do, in its very, very, by its very basic definition, to redeem something. This is a dictionary definition. To gain possession of something in exchange for payment. It's very simple. It's very direct. When our Lord says, you are a purchased people. We're purchased. He did indeed redeem us. And it cost him everything. You know, just several weeks ago, we go through the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and all those horrible, repugnant things that we hear about him enduring for us. Being spat upon, crowned with thorns, scourged, beaten, mocked, ridiculed, and hung on a cross to die. All these things were payment for us. When you pay such a price for something, you want it to perform. I'll speak for myself. I am definitely not the do-it-yourself guy, but I have fallen into the mode occasionally. Hey, I'll go on the cheap. Those things over there are, you know, 10 bucks a piece. I'm going to buy these 2 bucks a piece things. They could be that. And then you pay. Why? Because they are of inferior quality. But if I pay some money for something, I mean a lot of money, I'm going to complain if it doesn't do everything that it is supposed to do. Our Lord Jesus Christ should be expected to be no different. We're talking about buying something that's going to cost you money. It costs him everything. We've been bought with a price. We are purchased people. We are slaves. We don't hate that kind of wording, you know. I mean, this whole purchased people thing is repugnant to us. Who he owns me? I'm a free man. No, you weren't. You were in bondage to sin. When our Lord redeemed you, when he paid a price for you, you're not in bondage to sin any longer. You're not in bondage to sin. You are in union with him, the chief cornerstone, part of the wall. You better act like it. These are living stones. Note, we never want to lose sight of what Scripture says. It doesn't. You are stones in God's wall. Because a stone could be viewed as just something that our Lord, I purchased this and I put it here. No, that's not, we're our living stones. Things that live grow. They get stronger. They're nurtured. This is living stone. Our Lord purchased you, and he expects you to do what you're supposed to do. He puts you in the wall, and you are supposed to become stronger. Like if you, using the building analogy, if I purchased a cinder block, but if it's doing the right thing, it's going to be a block of marble when everything's over and done with. There's a huge difference between the strength of cinder block and marble. Same thing with us spiritually. Our Lord redeems us while we were yet sinners. He expects us to be living stones, to get closer to him, to become stronger. This is an it's not an expectation, it's a demand. You know, we consider this whole being bought to perform a function for our Lord, you know, to be part of the spiritual house, the church. It's an overwhelming responsibility. It's a very important responsibility. It is not a passive responsibility. You are supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ to become stronger. You've been purchased with a very high price to be part of the edifice of the Roman Catholic Church, the spiritual house established by our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief corner of that edifice. We're part of that. All the other little groups and everything, they're all outhouses. Little here, there, and everything like that. I don't know who's the foundation and who's the corner of them and all that other stuff. But we know that the Roman Catholic Church that our Lord established is the one that he is the one. Because that's why he refers to it not even as the church, my church. My church. This is the one. And we got to start understanding that message. And not falling into the stuff that we hear, everybody's okay, you know, this building's fine, that building's fine. No, they're not. No, they're not. This is what we have to understand, and we're part of that. Now, if you've got that mentality, you're not being a good living stone. To be a good living stone, the foundation is the cornerstone that is our Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles. I mean, the scriptures tell us that. Founded on Christ the Apostle. Well, what is it? Is it Christ or the apostles? The answer to that is yes. Why? Because the apostles spoke exactly the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their message of the gospel was exactly, they were true vicars of Christ. They did exactly what our Lord taught and exactly what he said. And this is what he presented. And this is what the apostles, this is why the foundation is apostolic. We get this, you hear another word we hear a lot anymore, and it's just got the wrong definition. Redemption, I don't think most people appreciate what the definition of that word is. There is a wrong definition of the word that is bandied about a lot now, is unity. We need to be in unity. We need to be in unity. What does that mean? What do you mean, be in unity? Because the modernists, when they say unity, they mean everybody of varying positions, they just get along with one another. That is not the unity of Jesus Christ. The unity of Jesus Christ is everybody being of one accord. One accord. Everybody being on the same sheet of music. This is why back in the day, people brought everything that they owned, all their material possessions, and they placed them at the feet of the apostles, Book of Acts. Yeah? There are nobody in their right mind, any prudent person anymore, that would bring everything that they had and put it at the feet of a bunch of bishops. Why? Because the apostles were of one accord. The apostles were on the same sheet of music. The people didn't have to come and go, oh, I don't know about Luke over there, but I want to give mine to the apostle over here because I know he does the right thing and everything. There was no question. No question whatsoever. All the apostles are on the same sheet of music. That's the way it's supposed to be. One of the most frequent questions I get asked, you know, by free, okay, when I give to the parish, does any money go this way? Or when I give to the bishop's appeal, does he give that? Those are legitimate questions, and I pray God a prayer of thanks that people ask them because they care. They care. And some bishops don't. They give money that are antithetical toward Catholic teaching and things like a contraception. And things like that. This is why people should ask questions. They shouldn't have to ask questions, but such are the times in which we live. Why? Because everybody's not being the living stone that they're supposed to be in the church. This unity is not people of variant views getting along. Theodoret of Syre, not one of the big names that most people, if you're into theology, you do, because he is like one of the foundational theologians of the church. He is recognized by a saint by a couple Eastern churches. Theodoret says this about unity, and he's talking about this passage about the living stones. He said, it is by sharing a common origin and by being in harmony with one another, by thinking and saying the same things, by having the same mind and the same thoughts, that we are built into one house of the Lord. If you're doing your own thing, you are not a good living stone. You start hyphenating Catholicism. That is diluting the strength of the stone. I'm a Catholic for choice. You're not a Catholic. You might be by sacrament, but you're a bad one. You're not a good stone. It dilutes. It weakens the wall. That kind of nonsense. Last week, if you were here, yeah, all are welcome. Who in their right mind would buy a piece of building material? If you're building a house, or if you're having a house built, you tell your builder, hey, go ahead and buy some structural stuff that will allow anything into it, moisture, termites, and everything, because everything should be welcome. You know, it flies in the face of this logic. Stones. Stones are, dare I say, rigid. They are supposed to be placed in a systematic order that is rigid. What prudent person I call it? Hey, there's a house over there. It's built on sand, and there's termites that have eaten everything, and the foundation is crumbling. Let's go hang out in there. I think not. These are the common sense illustrations that our Lord gives us to make us understand these things. Everything is not welcome to permeate the building materials. You got to be solid. This is what our Lord demands. We need to be living stones. I said before, that means strengthening. Our Lord died for us while we were yet sinners, and he were called to be living stones and were placed in there as the cinder blocks. And then we are supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The closer our union with Jesus Christ, the stronger the building. A lot of people don't get into this mode. I mean, a lot of people look at their faith as a very individualistic thing. And there is an individual, absolutely an individual component. And this is what I'm talking about. We as individuals have to make sure that we are strong stones. But stones are part of something else. You know, a lot of people, I'm going to go to the judgment seat and I'm going to answer for what I did in my life. I don't have to worry about it. I mean, one of the things our Lord Jesus Christ is going to ask, I redeemed you with my blood and made you a living stone in the edifice of my castle. How did you do? Well, I thought that all were welcome, or I hyphenated by diluting this and everything. That's not a stone. That's a facade. Like I said before, our Lord, when we talk about this place that our Lord has built, it is very military. Castles were military. The king lived there. There were ports where you could shoot out of them because you had needed to defend it. There were places where troops could be in there and they would be sent out to attack the enemy that was coming. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about a nice house. We're talking about a castle. We're talking about a fortress. We're talking about a bunker, a blockhouse. Very military, because you know what stays in this place? The church militant. And yeah, that's a term that we should be using. There are some of us who think of our faith as a very militant thing. We are supposed to be advancing out there in the darkness. We are supposed to be taking prisoners for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Go therefore, teaching them what I have taught you, all that I have commanded you, baptizing them, that they may become one with us, that they may become stones. Build up the foundation. That's what we're called to do. Like I said, if it's not strong, it's a facade. I like the definition of facade too, because it really kind of describes a lot of places in the church right now. What is a facade? It is an outward appearance that is maintained to conceal a less pleasant reality. Think about that one for a sec. A less pleasant reality. Like when you see, you know, oh, look at that model home over there. Oh, that's beautiful. That's that little brick house over there. And then you go over, you're like, you can put your finger through what looks like brick. Why? It looks like brick because the place is made of boards. It's not only not brick, it's weak. But it looks like brick to conceal a less pleasant reality. That's going on in the church right now, in a lot of places. It looks like the church. They dress like the church. They may say something like the church. But it conceals a less pleasant reality, the fact that they don't teach the Catholic faith, the apostolic faith. They're all about the world and how the world views them. All about everybody just getting along and telling everybody there are many ways to heaven, contrary to what our Lord said in the gospel today. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The facade tells everybody why he doesn't mean what he said. It conceals a less pleasant reality. You don't want to be part of that because those stones are going to be answerable. We are baptized Catholics. One commentator said, the baptized Christian is empowered and expected to live his whole life as if it were an act of worship. We are marked for the service of Christ. He has purchased us to be part of the walls of his building. And not just, again, I said, not passively. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, both individually and collectively, as the body of Christ. Individually, Romans 12, St. Paul, Holy Spirit speaking through him, says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, your reasonable service. It is hard to be a living stone in the walls that is the Roman Catholic Church, particularly in our day. Particularly if you want to be a strong stone, living sacrifice to do that. Individually, we have to. Our Lord demands it. Collectively, as the body of Christ, those who present the apostolic faith, not the faith that is faddish, and not the faith that is palatable to the world, but the apostolic faith, we are truth. How dare you say what you say is the truth? I don't. Jesus does. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he even says through his Holy Spirit that the church is that also. Because if the church is the body of Christ, he is their head. They have to present, just like the apostles I said before, exactly what he said. 1 Timothy, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is the truth because it's Jesus Christ who is the truth. Nothing else is. Well, it's sort of the truth. I always like that part of it. Well, there's an element of truth in everything. Elements of truth are meaningless. An element of the truth is nothing. You parents, how'd you like, your kid comes in at 3 o'clock in the morning when you told him to be in at 8 o'clock at night. They can waltz in at 3 o'clock in the morning. And, where you been? Out. There's an element of truth there, right? Is that going to suffice? I think not. Elements of truth are nothing. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That whole truth, that's where we're dropping the ball now. The whole truth, everything that Jesus says. Grace and mercy, righteousness and justice. Inclusivity of the gospel, invitation, but the exclusive nature of only those who believe are beneficiaries of that presence. Those are the things we have to understand and work out. That makes us strong stones. The church is not a model home. It is not supposed to be a facade. And the church is not a facade. There are places in there that have been added on that are, but that's not what the church is. It's not a model home. It's the fortress of the church militant. We've got to start acting like that's what it is. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.